Work the Game presents Anthem Free Radio, coming at you live and on YouTube with your hosts Brian, Chemistro, and Nightmare Demon. Adventure with us as we learn more about the world of Anthem.
Now, I don't know about you guys, but that intro still gets me so
Man,
jazzed every time. It's like, let's get some Anthem Free Radio on. And so for everybody, I'm one of your hosts, Brian. Joining me is Chemistral.
Hello.
And in the slot where you can't see his face, but you can see his face, Nightmare Demon, man on the street, news reporter of the year. Let's hear it for him.
Hello, folks.
So it's been about, I think, 3 weeks since our last podcast, and during which time we had the amazing fan fest for Final Fantasy XIV. So much stuff going on, so much things that are happening. During that time, they showed off, or they tried to show us off, the Interceptor. Thank you. I was like, I don't even... it's all Storm for me, 100% Storm. so it's like, there's other Javelins? Oh my gosh. So what's up, Freelancers? Jaboy, just being stupid, here. And we've got 11 weeks until we're going to be able to get some hands-on with Anthem. Now, one of the things they've kind of talked about and showed off is customizations. They showed some kind of gameplay, some story stuff. Some of the stuff that you kind of see behind us right now, just various clips and footage that we've collected and gathered, and the hype is building. But there's obviously a big caveat, a huge question remains, and you see this in all the comments. Anytime anybody's talking about Anthem, the question of EA shows up, and that's when. And if you haven't been with us at all, this is your first introduction to Anthem Free Radio. We started this off saying, "What? This is a journey to see about two companies." BioWare and EA, and it ends up being like, you know, what ends up being, the best for gamers and things like that. So obviously lots of rage. Fallout 76 is going to be kind of a huge theme here when we talk about betas, when we talk about things, because companies can't turn around these things quickly. So if anybody out there is thinking, we get our hands on with Anthem and they're like, oh, it's a beta, they're going to fix it by the time release comes. We got to get out of that mindset. So we're going to talk about that kind of as our core topic. So that's the lead-in introduction. So we've got a lot of news to cover. We're going to kind of try to cover that as quickly and respectfully as possible. But we do want to know from you guys what you want to know about the game, because beyond the podcast, we obviously, all three of us, do various videos and content creation. And we're always trying to get better. We're always trying to look at what makes the most sense. So just sound off in the comments below if this video is on YouTube. Later, or as well as feel free to contact us. We'll have our contact information all at the end of the show. But you should also, hopefully you know how to reach us. We're pretty reachable, I would assume. so without further ado, man of the hour, the news reporter extraordinaire, Nightmare Demon, how is it going? What do you got for us? What are the hot scoops?
Well, hello, folks. And this week we have... This was really fun trying to pick through the key points to try to keep this as quick as possible. We've got a few key points and good things to talk about. First and foremost, one of the things that came up was about microtransactions.
Well, it's like the biggest freaking,
That's
everyone's worried with EA. Yeah.
How are you going to go through my wallet? Like, it's like what kind of relationship are we establishing here with microtransactions?
All right, so as far as microtransactions go, they have stated they will not have loot boxes.
Okay.
Anthem will not have pay to win or pay for power, as the case is.
Okay.
All of our microtransactions are going to be cosmetic direct purchases. So basically like Warframe, you know what you're getting when you buy it. You buy what you want.
Buy what you want. And betting the price is going to be a little bit higher than people expect.
Well, I'm sure. But they also said Anthem will allow you to earn cosmetics through the game via playing or doing hard missions, i.e. killing a boss to earn a vinyl.
Got it. I love that. Question, though, is that for all things? Like, is it to where, like, that some of this stuff question. Has a low drop, and then you, or you can go pay cash, which something I fully support. Like, oh, this has a low drop rate. You've killed it 1,000 times, and you haven't gotten it. You can go, if you really want to, like, it's your time for cash.
Yeah, time for cash.
Time for cash. We'll see. I mean, if there's exclusive stuff, like they talked about the Iron Man suit, I think in a previous podcast we talked about.
Yeah, that would probably be like you can't get it.
Sure. Disney wants its cut. Disney wants its cut.
All of their cuts.
All of their cuts. Anthem will not have a season pass, which is fantastic. And again, EA's kind of going with that.
Okay.
All Anthem story DLC will be free, so the player base doesn't get split. Now, on that note, any new javelins that are added in the future, however, may cost money. This is not confirmed yet.
Right, but how would you guys feel about that?
I'd be okay with it. I mean,
Go ahead. I mean,
it's not like key things to the game. It's just like Borderlands. They had the Necromancer and the Psycho. I mean, you could still play and enjoy the game without those characters, and if you wanted to play those characters, you could buy them. Now, the only issue I would have would be depending on how much said javelins cost. With it having cosmetics in the game that they're selling, maybe they won't be outrageously priced. We'll see. I'll, again, reserving judgment for that when the time comes. But they also said it's not confirmed yet whether or not they will cost money or not.
Okay. Chemistry, what are your thoughts there?
As far as adding new javelins to the shop, I'm actually 100% on board with this, especially since like we can have so many more potential quote-unquote classes. We still need to see a potential healer if that's possible. I know that as it is right now, it's not going to be in the game. Maybe down the line, who knows? We can see different styles of tanking, different styles of damage, a buffer, supporter, debuffer. The floor is wide open as far as what else they can add there. So I'm curious to see where this could potentially lead to.
Okay. So when you make the comparison, I think, to obviously Borderlands Nightmare, that in and of itself, this is what I think Anthem seems to be trying to position itself for. We've talked about this in previous, but to catch everybody up to speed, Anthem does not appear to be Destiny or a Destiny killer, nor is it trying to be that. And I think a lot of people, like, I don't know whether they have hope that Destiny responds to it or Anthem comes and just kind of captures that multiplayer RPG sci-fi element. So there obviously are comparisons that people can draw, but this feels more akin to a Borderlands, more akin to a Diablo game. And that's where it's like, that's, I think, the perfect comparison. So I would say that for me personally, that seems right. You know, it seems that, you know, yeah, like you want that DLC. Obviously, I think that you'll see, depending, because there is no season pass. So I'm wondering just how content is going to be delivered, you know, because there isn't any kind of, like, one of the strengths of a subscription-based game is that you kind of get a consistent cadence because you can kind of have a consistent income. But with, you know, with cosmetics, it ends up being like, well, we got to design this, you know. And the one thing that they won't have going for them is, you know, like, you don't have, like, these, I guess for lack of a better term, like, sexy cat girl outfits that you can customize your javelin, as far as we know. Like, oh, here's my javelin armor, and I'm now like a, you know. No, it's just like, but like typically you see that within kind of the free-to-play. Now, obviously, this is a kind of a buy-to-play model they're using, so it'll be neat to see, like, what kind of incentive are they incentivized to do? Like, are we going to see just a cash shop full of all these cosmetics? Or, you know, one of the cool things would be obviously new javelins, if they're able to kind of continue to create those as well, and then you probably see Game of the Year editions and different things that you can kind of purchase, hopefully in bulk.
From the customization stream they done and what they showed there, the cosmetic aspect of this game, I'm looking really forward to, because they added it. It's got textures you can add to your armor and all that. So, like, the cosmetics, like the customization of your javelins looks really in-depth. I mean, there seems to be a lot there. And on the side note of customization, for those who may be worried, the customization is not going to be a one-time use like Destiny 2 shaders were. You can use your coloring schemes, vinyls, etc., as much as you'd like.
And they showed this off, like, on a stream. And actually, that's actually playing perfect timing, playing right behind us. Way to go, Brian. But it's like, you have so much. They at least had a team focused solely on this, because they get that aspect. They get that we want to be unique.
Whole stream just on customization,
and not even on loadouts, not even on your weapons and things like that. Just how you can set yourself up to look. So honestly, I think for me, obviously, like, I know, like, Jelly, she's hanging out with us live right now. I first only just got started into glamoring, which is kind of the customization within Final Fantasy, years after it was introduced. And so with this, I'm like, all right, I might play with it. Like, I'm glad it exists, but I don't know. Like, I think essentially I'm going to come up with my look. I'm going to keep that look for generations. And then something's going to happen. And then I have to figure, like, you know, it's been 10 years and I've been silver and blue. Okay, maybe I'll go silver and green. Like, what? I'm not, like, I'm just more not like that kind of guy. I'm not, my wife, my wife is the person who dresses me in real life. I am not a, like a snappy, like visual kind of thing. Like Jelly did my house in 14. So it's like, if somebody wants to, what would be really cool is if people could create these, their own kind of custom looks and share them out with others. Cause then I can be lazy. But anyway, like, BioWare, like, but that's a BioWare please post that I'll see if I can't make later on the Reddit. Can we share?
You do it on Forza. You should be able to do it on here.
Yeah. Oh, true story. Forza. Go ahead, Kendall.
Yeah.
I hate to be the force of doubt here, but I think we're going to be seeing a lot more than customizations in the shop, as far as I'm speaking. Now, I know, as I said, there's no more paid win, but I could see a lot of potential pay for convenience, such as EXP boosters, maybe like extra inventory slots. How do you guys feel about that?
Go ahead, Nightmare.
With those, I mean, those are still in a lot of people's minds considered to be pay to win or pay for power, mm-hmm. as the case is. That gives you a progressional advantage, and a lot of people will backlash against that.
This is a perfect segue, because somebody that I was that I know really well was talking about pay to win, and there was some really interesting backlash from some of the 14 community about it. So Miles actually wrote, and we're going to be doing kind of a community feedback on that specific topic coming up, but Miles wrote that it's the problem with pay to win is that there isn't really a formal established definition of it. Some people were like, if you're not buying end game, you know, like the hardest loot, the best gear, blah, blah, blah. As long as you're not paying for that, then it's not pay to win. Or just like you talking about progression, like even a convenient, because, and Julie, like when she watched the video, she looked at me and said, well, it really just depends on what your definition of winning is. If your definition on winning is getting somewhere, is getting to the end game faster, then anything that can give you an advantage is that. If you're in her mind, anything that you, she's a collector. So in the case of a mount, any mount that she's unable to acquire some way in the game, and the only way to acquire it is with money. And then her world, that is a kind of a pay to win system, because her definition of winning is that. And so Miles actually summed it up perfectly. The reason that the community is so divided over it is that there is not a formal established definition. We all have our own definition. And that's why you see such powerful and strong attack and defense whenever it's proposed, because, you know, because nobody can agree. Groups of people can agree on it, but I think even we probably pull each other what would be winning, and, you know,
we'd all have a different definition.
We all have like a different definition. I don't find the problem with pay to convenience with XP is that it makes it feel like they slow down XP just to get you to spend money.
Yeah, exactly.
And if Anthem launches, it's perfect and it's an amazing game. We're gonna have to restructure our mission statement for this podcast, because it's like, okay, cool, we're good. This is a great game. Let's have fun. But the thing is like, what, you know, is there going to be an underlying, you know, feeling that we're getting, that people the game's taking advantage of us? And the only way to know is to obviously for February to come and us to go hands on with it and then play it. And it's because I think, did anybody here play Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
I have it. I'm currently.
I haven't, but I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
Right. So a lot of people were like, okay, so the leveling slows down so much, and then they have the XP boosters.
Yep. And then it's permanent account wide.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, like, well, I was enjoying it, and now I feel like I'm not. And if I was somebody who, for whatever, I don't know, you know, if there's that person exists, but they're wanting to race to be the world's first of, you know, finishing the game or doing all this, you do then feel compelled to purchase. And so hopefully the compelling factor is something that's purely cosmetic and not even on the convenience factor. It's a weird, hard gray line, because you could say like maybe one person out of 100 might not like that. And then you're like, well, that's an acceptable thing, because the community is like, it's really not that big of a deal.
If the boosters are set up like Warframe.
Assuming they have boosters.
If, like with Warframe, they have boosters in Warframe also. And you can get EXP booster, you can get money booster. I mean, they've got all these things. It is a free-to-play game, so there's a kind of a thing there. But the way they have it set up is, even if you don't have those boosters, it's doesn't feel super slow. So as long as they're not, you know, making it feel like a super grind, mm-hmm. like some games do it to incentivize you to buy mm-hmm. that booster, because with the boosters on there, you actually can get them through other means too. I mean, you can earn them, like sometimes you'll get them in the mail for like a reward for something, or, I mean, you just get them. And again, it's just depends on how they set up their money system in this game.
Right. Yeah. And they're like their structure as far as like how they set up their EXP game. There's an MMO I played, Perfect World, where for years we've been playing it with the same basic EXP game, but then like 2 years, I think, after its launch, we got what's called EXP stones, which were a cash up item that actually lets you have a 12 times multiplier to your EXP. And adding something like that into the game mm-hmm. just forever changed how EXP rate is acceptable now.
Yeah.
Something I would not want to see happen to this game at all. I don't think it'll ever will, but you know, burned once, so you're kind of wary of it.
We'll see. Oh yeah, that's the thing. All right, so what else we got, Nightmare? Because I know like that's an interest. That's a whole podcast in and of itself.
That's a podcast. Exactly. For the Brian here, we've talked about cross play. Mm-hmm. There has also been talk of now possible cross save / progression. It's not at launch, but devs are looking into it. So it's just like crossplay. It is possible for later.
Yeah. That's the most, I think, important thing from a community perspective. That's it, like somebody's like, oh, would you ever go back and play Destiny 2 again? It's like, well, there's two things that need to change. They need to say there's not a Destiny 3 on the horizon. And then B, they need to say like, hey, we got cross save or cross progression, or where you could kind of like, I'm going to play here or play here, play with my friends. That would be what does it. So hope, and the fact that they're talking about that, and it might not be day one, but the fact that that's part of the conversation right here makes me really excited to invest time in it. Like maybe to start on PC, but then maybe to pick it up on Xbox. And then if I ever get a new PlayStation of the future, you know, boom, you know, PlayStation, and just be able to play. Now, ideally crossplay would be the best of that, but cross progression, I think, is a good step in the right direction.
Yeah. Also there was questions about daily and weekly tests. Mm-hmm. There will be those that you can complete in Anthem, so sweet. You can look forward to those. This is an interesting little tidbit here from Caroline Livingston, I think is her name, the audio engineer.
Okay.
All of the voice tracks or voiceover tracks are done, which basically means it's like one of the final, as Kim was telling me earlier, it's like one of the final steps in the finishing of the game, like as far as like, the story and actually creating the game. So that's a interesting little piece of information there. And somebody on Twitter asked about missions. Like if you're doing an in-game mission or a dungeon, if you DC or your computer crashes, can you reconnect to a mission where you was at, or are you just kind of SOL? And Mark Gamble said you will be able to reconnect to missions or dungeons or whatever you was playing within a certain time frame. So like if you disconnect and you're, you know, back in like 5-10 minutes, you're good. I don't know exactly what the time frame may be.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be like an hour or something, but
hopefully not. Like I'm back, guys. Like
I'm back. You know, after
the entire power went out in Texas, and so now I'm back.
No, exactly.
Oh good. You waited for me.
And for those of you who are curious, they have said that by the end of today, 12/5/2018, you will know whether or not you are in the alpha. So
I'm on the list. We'll have to see. The alpha this weekend.
I couldn't even get mine in.
Come on.
If one of us to get in. So it's like, all right, Anthem Free Radio, still haven't played the game.
If one of us gets it, if one of y'all get it.
As long as we don't get to like episode. Show me. As long as we don't get to episode 100 and still have not played the game.
Welcome
to Anthem Free Radio. The game's been out for 3 years. What's keeping you from picking it up?
All right. Last little piece of news here is coming from Mark. He stated that the reason they are sharing so much of the game right now and since E3 is that they want everyone to understand the game before jumping into it. This is different than what BioWare has done before, but no need to worry as there are still lots of prizes for us to find once we get to jump in. Mike also provided a reassuring statement that Anthem is huge, and even if they streamed every few days until launch, you would not see it all.
That's excellent. And at the same time, makes me think, huge.
Huge.
Huge. All right.
I'm really glad they also are, focusing so much on showing people the game as it is, especially since a lot of people still have concerns with EA, somewhat behind the scenes, like looming in the background. So this is kind of eating everyone's thoughts.
It's the emperor of the whole, the whole universe. Like,
a terrible Badaka with Andromeda.
Coming to the dark.
Andromeda was terrible.
Well, and it's like, are they really committed? Obviously, the VGAs are, coming up, and there's rumors they're going to be showing off, the next Dragon Age game. I still have Dragon Age Inquisition. I need to. That's one of the things I was like, maybe I'll stream that and try to finish that game at some point before, Anthem. But then I'm like,
I beat that game.
It's a good game.
I've never played a Dragon Age game.
It's really good.
They're really good games.
There's dragons.
they're really good games.
All right. That's the news. Thank you, Nightmare Man on the Street. Reporter extraordinaire. It is unfortunate. You got kind of like looked over for this year's Streamy Awards or whatever. I don't know what different things. But it's okay. It's political. We just, we'll get it. We'll get it. so Chemistrel, the big topic. Obviously, lots of frustration, a lot of things. As an engineer, I can say that one of the things that I used to be in the camp, it's a beta, they'll fix it. And this is like, and the last time I said that was at 14.1.0, and then the launch. It's like, we're talking about, when you're talking about a month turnaround, unless it's like, oh, maybe it's a network stress issue, like outside of that. But if like the game is really legitimately having problems, it's going to take some time to find and fix. And obviously volume and team and effort, there's so many factors that go into it. But as a community, I think we've really seen it once again with Fallout 76. So I want to toss to you right now. You've gotten some key points, and I want you to share those thoughts. I was thinking this would be a really good video, but then I was like, it's such a broad thing that I really thought it just actually made sense to carry the podcast for this. So go ahead and start with your thoughts. And the topic being, what is, Fallout 76 and what BioWare needs to learn from the Fallout's Fallout.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is a topic that's been exploding up on YouTube recently.
YouTube.
Yeah, I know Twitter. A lot of people right now are just instantly, I'm going to be on the bad side for even comparing, Fallout 76. It hasn't come out yet, but I will willingly
They're pulling out the pitchforks.
Yep.
Torches.
Yeah.
But as Brian said, there is a valid point in seeing the unfortunate failure of someone else's launch and what you can do to take steps to prevent that for your own launch.
Yeah.
And so a couple of these key points I've outlined, we'll go ahead down the list. The first one is, in this case, putting it to BioWare, just because you're BioWare, it should not excuse you from a shoddy release. Long story short, we all know Bethesda games kind of have that meme of our games are a little bit buggy upon launch. And people are still, loyal. They still make great games. Mm-hmm. I saw friends at work who still buy those games. Like, they bought 76. Everybody saw it. They were so excited for it. It was like, we heard about how bad it was, weeks before the launch with the beta. The writing was on the wall. Mm-hmm. And they still went, still bought it, and were horribly disappointed afterwards in doing so.
Yeah.
And I feel it's because of that mantra that, Bethesda games, it's okay to be buggy. It's like, it's okay to be buggy, but you shouldn't let that be your excuse. If the game isn't ready, don't publish it as it is.
Well, go ahead, Nightmare.
There's a difference between buggy and completely unplayable in most cases.
Yeah, this is even worse than early access.
I mean, there's some things with this, I've seen clips and stuff where this guy's like there's just some balancing things where he's using a rifle. Pretty high end looking rifle trying to fight enemies, and it's taking most of clips to try to kill like these what we consider lower level enemies in these games.
Yeah.
And falling through the map. And I mean, it's just things that are making the game unplayable in most cases.
Yeah. My favorite is like the mob of just T-pose ghouls just.
Yes.
the thing is that obviously BioWare really not BioWare but Bethesda they released a statement, and the statement saying for me seems so very canned when it came to it, because it's like, oh, okay, we're gonna do better at trying to communicate what we're working on, and really behind the scenes they're kind of scrambling, like what can we do quickly, what can we do over the midterm, what can we, what's the roadmap, we got to come up with this. And that's where the theme here is Yeah, I don't think that's essentially, you know, when we look at it and we would apply, if we apply the same standards, like, is that BioWare pushing back on EA and saying like, hey, we still need more time, and EA is saying we've set the date. We've set the date. And the question is that we see this happen a lot. Like, we saw even with The Division, and Zoila was comparing that, like, they feel like this game is, you know, more to kin to The Division than it is to Destiny. And we see that, and then over the course of the time, the game is going to get better. They're going to improve upon it. At some point, there's going to be a time where Fallout 76 could theoretically just be amazing and a lot of fun to play, and people are really having a good time with it. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet. So, like, I wish we could kind of get into a state where, with PUBG and with some of these games, where there is a sense of, here's the early access and it starts on this day, and then at some point, that, because it sets the expectation, it sets the mindset of the player to say, there might be things that still are going wrong, because in this huge world population, you know, we're talking about, like, it can be, it's hard. It's not, multiplayer games aren't easy games to make. The easiest game to make is that single player game, one player, one experience. You can kind of control so much more about the environment rather than having all these other things happening. So that's where it's like, gosh, I wish we could see come from a publisher's relationship. And maybe that's where they kick, you know, but kicking it off early access for the 15th and the game's coming out on the 22nd, that does not give you the ability to say, like, for people to, like, us go in on the 15th and be like, yo, like, you gotta this fix bad. This. Like, this is, this, you know, bad. we are always constantly getting disconnects. You know, maybe that's something that could turn around. But if it was something at its root,
okay,
then all of a sudden we see the same thing repeat over again. Gamers get upset. Lots of outrage. Blaming EA. And it's like, it's a big, like, you know, the it's the non-secret, but the big reason, the big thing is that it's big business over on the YouTube side. Anytime you can, like, anytime there's just, like, negative news, like, that means, like, that could be, that's a payday, especially for a lot of these people who make their living off of it. And I'm not knocking it as somebody who's a part of the problem. I'm always real. Like, I'm going to say how it is.
Yeah, for real. It wasn't just the fact that there was these issues. It wasn't just the fact there was disconnects. There was a major issue where this game was making your computer and your personal information vulnerable to attack from outside sources. I mean, it was literally there was, like, no security to this. There was actually a major, like, personal information security issue with mm-hmm. the game. And they were just like, not doing nothing about it.
I don't know if that's really that, like, that might be the initial response, but I don't think that's
terrible. That was the issue. That is the major issue.
That's where it's like your first response.
First impressions, man. First impressions. Mm-hmm. What you say first is what people are going to go off of. If you put your foot in your mouth, that is what they are going to see for the rest of it. I mean, it's just the way it is. Like, hey, we done this. Sorry. But they didn't even say sorry. It was like,
Right. All right. So, chemist rule. what's the number? What's the second thing we need to be aware of?
Well, the second point kind of tied in with the first, and that is, if the game is not going to be functionally complete at launch, don't launch the game until it is, or at least, as you could have said, they could at least, you know, made it say, hey, we changed it to early access. We'll still release the game on that day, but here's a price drop or something. Because
that would be so interesting.
$60
yeah.
is a bit much.
That would be so interesting. I don't know if any company has done that. Like, we've seen delays.
Not a triple A company.
We've seen delays.
It's going to cost money, but at the same time, you're going to have a lot more respect in the community and the fan. They're going to look to you. Like, people already praised Bethesda, and if they were to take that step, how much more that praise would have raised for them?
I wonder. You know, obviously, hindsight is 2020. Obviously, you know, it's like we can't go into the, you know, the multiverse and see, like, oh, here's what happened when this happened. Oh, that was the right call. But, man, that would be interesting.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm the only one apparently. No, it's like at its root though, that's where, that's from my perspective, like, it's really cool to see what they've shown us in the live streams. Like, the game does feel like it's coming together. We're still in alpha and it's December and the game comes out in February. I think the team is going to be working their butts off over the Christmas holiday, over the New Year's holiday, over January. My hope is that, they're able to, you know, really kind of crush the bugs, get the things done that they need to get done over the course. But the fear I honestly legitimately have is that the game has to be, I guess, in their minds, that complete, everything's pretty much done. It's just a matter of polishing and bug crushing now. And as long as they're in that state, then I think that the game should be fairly complete and feel really good. But if they're still like, oh, we're adding this system and this feature, you know, any new system or feature they add, it's like you kind of have to go and bug test and bug check the whole daggum thing over and over again. So that's just where my concern really falls in right now, especially seeing that, because people should have some hands-on with the alpha this weekend. I'm hoping that, you know, pretty soon they can start to announce that they're in a beta state. Because that will bring me a little bit of feelings of tidings and cheer with this Christmas season. Like, okay, like good, just get to beta January and then release. So
the tons of javelins, la 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 la
la la la la. Cubits, colossuses, and interceptors, la 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 la.
Now we all know gay apparel. All right, let's see here. So, all right, number three.
Okay, so for the third point is don't promise a consumer something you've had no intention to fulfill initially.
Like canvas bags?
Yes.
Like that was, I was not aware of any pre-order and all that bonus. And when I went and looked, somebody did side by side. So I saw it on Twitter.
It wasn't even a pre-order bonus. It was literally
the collector's
edition.
Okay. Yep, $200 edition, mind you.
Well, and it's like, they showed it. Like I saw what they showed off and then eventually it was delivered. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I was like, that bag, the canvas bag, looks great. Like, I was like, oh, and I see that's where people are like, yeah. And what happened there? Like, do you guys, are anybody, like, I guess, okay. I don't know the story. So I was just kind of like, well, that seems okay,
so basically, go ahead.
Yeah.
So basically what initially happened was I followed this on Reddit. And somebody had posted that, hey, when they got their collector's edition, they got this nylon bag. So then they got in touch with Bethesda support about it, and they're like, oh yeah, that was actually a prototype in the picture and it was too expensive to recreate, so we actually made these instead and we have no intention of changing that.
Yeah,
and the picture said canvas too, by the way.
Yeah, it did say canvas in the, like, the pre-order options. It didn't say, hey, this is a bag. It said a canvas bag.
Yeah. In is the lesson here, don't pull a Fallout 76? Like, because it's like, A, it seems like they really kind of...
Well, not only that, it's also, before, like, you know that now, Bethesda, they are shipping those players who, you know, went through the process. They're sending them the actual canvas bags, but beforehand, they try to, you know,
give them
essentially quiet them by giving them in-game currency that's the equivalent of $5.
And you couldn't even buy anything with it. Like, the cheapest thing on the store was like $700.
Man, what happened? Oh, and then so Chili's saying, just to add on to this, because Chili's saying that the reviewers got the canvas bags.
Yeah, the reviewers and like the first come people actually got the canvas bags.
Wow.
Like the nylon bags that the players got are worth 20 cents.
Yeah. Yeah, they're complete trash.
Good Lord. Like that, it's that when the, if the game was just a mate, like it's just, it seemed like it was just misstep after misstep after misstep. And obviously, you know, we don't have the insight to kind of like be on the walls of who's making those decisions and what happened and who's losing their job over all of that. At this point,
somebody's getting
right. And that's unfortunate because like no developer, like the guys BioWare is wanting to try to deliver and you see it in the streams, like on the positive side, like I would say anybody watching, be very wary of pre-orders. Wait till, you know, more information's out. Wait till you can have the most informed decision that you can make. They will have incentives. They got the Legionnaire kind of, like, you know, I guess skins and things like that, that, you know, that's going to be part of Anthem. So it's like, okay, do you want that? Do you not? But just be very well aware of that, because it tends to be that, like, especially in the digital era, they're not going to run out of these games. they're unlimited. It's an unlimited resource. Go ahead, Nightmare. I think you're about to say something.
Okay, yeah. Real trial corrected me. There is some things you can buy for that money. You can buy a whole door, a plant, and or some pajamas with that $5 that they offered players.
And also, as well as to also address what's brought up, is that Bethesda is doing the right thing now by getting the canvas, sending canvas bags to the players.
Mm-hmm.
My only issue that I have with the whole scenario isn't, you know, the canvas versus nylon. It's more of the, well, we did say canvas, we sent you nylon, rather than just saying, hey guys, we messed up, we're sorry, mm-hmm. here's the stuff right off the bat. Like, no, hey, we don't have any plans at the moment, but here's some in-game currency that, you know, we can make up that doesn't cost us anything to produce.
Yeah.
And then once players are completely unhappy about that, just basically after all this attention that it's getting, then Bethesda's like, okay, now we kind of have to go back in the bags.
The backlash from that $5 like in-game currency thing was even worse than the fact that they sent them nylon bags instead of canvas bags.
Yeah.
Like, it was bad.
Man, all right. Well,
but basically, like, why I put that in there for the why I brought that part up in order to bring it into Anthem is that we're not going to get Anthem canvas bags as far as I'm aware of. But hey, you know, if you want to send us some, we'll be more than happy to accept them.
Yeah, for real.
But you know, what this stands for, you know, features and
statues.
We need to get it.
You can do this, or you can do that. Collect these items. Don't say we'll be able to get these things if you don't have any intention to actually put it in the game. I'm just going to leave it with No Man's Sky.
Yeah. I think if I was going to say it and ask BioWare of anything at this moment, I'd be like, A, come on our show. B, let's get Chemistrol a new poster, something Anthem-like. Yeah, this is Overwatch.
Yeah, poster, yeah, this wall is way too bare.
Yeah, it's like we got to get something in there for them. That would be the request. But no, it's like I really, you know,
statues of his respected.
The team, like everything they're showing off, it's like it seems like they're very passionate. They're very excited. What they're showing off looks really cool. And I know that they're going into probably the toughest 2 months. And the hardest thing about those 2 months is that it's going right through various holiday seasons for them. So just my message is that, you know, just guys, we know you're working hard. I really hope you are able to get the rest you need. And then I'm really rooting, you know, that this is a really fun game and exciting game, because from the moment it debuted, like, I was like, that looks interesting. And then at the same time, after everything that's happened over the last, what seems to be a year, like, it kicked off kind of with EA last November with the Star Wars thing. And it's kind of accumulated again, this time with Bethesda and even other things. Like, it seems like there's plenty of things to be frustrated about. So I'm hoping that it'd be really great to kick off 2019 with a win, with something that is like very both fun, also really that does real well for BioWare in that regards, because this, you know, it's something that when you work so hard, and everything they show, like the interface that they're showing, it looks so slick, like it feels like everything is really well thought out and designed. So my fear is like I don't think we'll, who knows, like we could see that, but I would love to see more of these games as a service, more of these persistent games start to have a different strategy as how they launch, because setting the name early access and early, hey, guess what? Early access is going to run a month. This is all the, you know, like Gmail was literally in beta for like 6 years before it was like, they finally took the word beta off of it. It's like, it just sets the expectation that if something goes wrong, they're going to work on it. They're going to fix it. And then us as a community, we're working together, and they've been really listening. They've been very open and taking in feedback. So from, you know, last year alone, just being a part of the Reddit, you know, they are very active. They are very responsive to that, which does make you feel like we are working on this together, that it's that, you know, they are listening. And that, I think, in and of itself proves to be good. But I guess the root of it, you know, don't promise something that can't be delivered reasonably. And the canvas bag thing is just really, I think, unfortunate. Gosh, like,
Don't promise to give us a gold statue if you're going to send us plastic.
It's gold colored.
Yeah, it's gold colored. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on the Fallout 76 topic? You know, I don't want to like move us through it and then be like,
Hey Kim, what was that quote of the day you found earlier?
Oh. So I was, you know, paying attention to the Fallout news, and one of the videos I was watching on YouTube, someone just happened to comment, Bethesda, you were supposed to destroy EA, not join them. So
it's kind of Bethesda, you were the chosen ones.
I want to kind of end it on a positive note. While it is a very, very poor launch by Bethesda's part, you know, I want to see them actually, you know, come back, correct their mistakes, reestablish the fans' trust, and, you know, make Starfield, make Elder Scrolls 6 amazing games.
Mm-hmm.
You let your fans down, but I believe in them to get their fans back. So
my only thing is, I'm gonna go ahead and say it like this, like I've said before, I'm not gonna bash them too bad for the game itself. This is their first multiplayer game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
The thing I'm gonna bash them for is they really need to update engines, because
the
engine they are using is old, it's outdated. Please, Bethesda, upgrade. Please.
Like, please go.
We'll
and
put the old engine in a canvas bag, and you can put the new one.
I think it'd probably take them like, you know, how many millions is that? Like 60, 80 million to build a new engine? You know, like massive amounts
like,
of money?
Like buy some rights to somebody else's. I don't know.
Unreal? Unreal?
Yeah, use Unreal.
Well, the success of Fortnite's making it to where Unreal is like they're lowering their prices. So it's like, you know, maybe it's now is a good time to get into it. The and then actually one note though that Bethesda actually did not make Elder Scrolls Online. That was done by
It was Obsidian company. That made
with like you know in
Bethesda's Canada. Name on it because they have rights. So they were like the publisher, and the other company was actually the producer.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see, like, ESO is a really good conversation piece because it's like as a game launches and then where it ends up. These games aren't made for that
Zenimax,
day one.
Zenimax, my bad. Zenimax.
Okay, you're good. But they are, like, these are like living kind of worlds. And that's where it's the launch is the first impression. The launch is that. And no matter what, like, because there are gamers who are informed. There are people who follow things. Like, you know, we're following this game and its development. But there's those who are going to like say like, oh, was it good? Was it bad? And then people are like, if it's a bad launch, it's very, very hard to get those people to come back. Be like, oh, I thought that game failed. It's like, no. Like it had problems in the first month and then they fixed it. It's like, oh, okay. They've already kind of moved on to the next thing. And I don't know if that's the audience you go for. I think, you know, like maybe at some point you're like, well, it's too expensive to try to bring them back. That's why it's at the most, as best you can launch, the best first impression you can make. It's the cheapest. It's the cheapest decision in the long run from where I sit. So with that,
we've seen games bounce back. We've seen Division 2, not the Division 2, the Division bounce back from it. Division had a horrible launch, but it's doing well now, but it still had that initial burn factor.
Yeah, and they're resetting everything with the Division 2, and that's where like Division 2 is an interesting kind of thing to kind of like pay attention to. I really liked the Division, but I came in at 1.8. You know, after like all the different issues, and they kind of really figured it out. Hopefully, we won't have to go through that with Anthem, and hopefully, Division 2 launches and it's an amazing success. And that's actually in March. If you guys aren't aware, anybody who's kind of like, there's a lot of really great games like that are on the docket for 2019. And then obviously on the docket this week is some Smash Brothers. So I'm really excited about that. With that, like, I really feel. For 76, I am really actually hopeful for Anthem, and I really am hoping the development team is able to hopefully enjoy some of the holidays as they gear up for that. Camerasol, do you have any final thoughts about anything we've talked about today or just life in general?
I am saying the more we see about this game and how they're planning to do their monetization, the more they're showing us like how customization works. I am getting continually more and more excited for it. And also a lot of my concerns are kind of being eased. Like since we can freely change our paint color schemes or whatever without having to like continually buy the stuff as in Destiny. At the same time though, I'm still kind of a cynic at heart. So I am still a little skeptical, but hopefully that's just me. And I'm not going to be like some harbinger of doom to bring upon this game.
Harbinger.
Nightmare, you got any final thoughts?
My final thoughts, I mean, I'm really excited for the game. I am. I'm holding out hopes that EA doesn't screw it up. And as far as, you know, the whole topic of 76 and the topic of, you know, rocky launches versus, you know, if the game gets improved later, if people come back, I mean, there's a hope that they do. But Battlefront 2, I mean, I've got it. I've played it. It's great now, but there's just not that big of a player base there anymore because they messed up with the launch so badly. It took them too long to fix. So I'm hoping with Anthem that it launches good. Maybe a few bugs here and there, nothing too crazy. But overall, as far as like microtransactions and EA doesn't step in too much, and we should be good. I mean, that's the hope. We'll see.
And that's literally why we're like, let's follow this. Let's see how this goes. Is it going to be something that it feels like an EA game? Or is it going to be something that feels like a BioWare game? And I really am excited. Hopefully we'll get to see the Interceptor soon. They had some problems with the live stream. So they were showing off some of the footage of kind of them walking around. You know, Tarsus and it, you know, that being them collecting different things. So there's a lot of really cool, you know, things and systems. And it's really cool to see that they keep doing these AMAs. They keep, reaching out to the community and engaging with us. And I hope that continues to continue. So without any of that, we'll be back most likely in 2 weeks See, when is 2 weeks from now?
Like, let me double check.
It's not Christmas, so we'll definitely, you know, be back here in 2 weeks. It's like, Merry Christmas, everybody. Like, we're spending time with each other and not our families.
So it'll be the week before Christmas.
That'd be great. So this,
or the 21st.
Hopefully one of us gets into the Anthem Alpha. Who knows if that will happen. I guess, like you said, we'll find out at the end of today. If you're watching this on YouTube, we should know.
We can't. No disclosure agreement.
Oh, yeah. Fine. No disclosure.
But you will see the excitement on our faces. That's for sure.
Yeah. You'll see how excited we are. Now, y'all can share it with me and just not publish it. Just saying.
So
I didn't get my application in because the site kept crashing.
Oh, man. That was nuts. It shows that there's so much interest in the game. So much interest that their website couldn't even handle.
Somehow the link got leaked on Reddit, and then
So shout out to Real Chili. Thank you so much, dude, for giving me a heads up for the link so I was able to get in before it went all crazy-like. But anyway, guys, for Anthem Free Radio, my name is Brian. That's Chemistrol. Am I pointing in the right direction? Nope. There it is. Nightmare is somewhere down below me. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Thanks so much for watching. Have a great day.
Y'all take it easy, everybody.
Oh, yeah. And I could have totally put up our like cool end screen. It's like, oh, no.
Next time.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, yes, for next time. Yeah, thanks again, Chili, for that. Thanks for hanging out for Zoila. Really appreciate that. Sparta, who else was in chat? Jelly with the subscription. Sue Coden.
Zoila.
Follow, thank you very much for that. We really appreciate y'all hanging out. Matt for hanging out. Chili,
I noticed the follow on my Twitch. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Chili's the man. So we're gonna get him back on the podcast. We got all kinds of things to do. I might see if Chris has been sick, so it's like we might. I know I've got a casually hardcore on Sunday, but we're actually kind of seeing if we can't sneak in a casually hardcore to kind of talk about the state of. 14, we might make it a focus on the old pay to win, video or do an epic community feedback. I don't know. So lots of fun things that we're working on, at the work to games. I totally forgot to be like in Nightmare.
Brian, is your chair a Tech Labs chair?
Streamlabs or a Secret Lab?
Secret Labs, okay. Yeah. I just happened to notice that. I was like, wait a minute. My bad. As far as what I'm working on, I actually had an idea pop up a while ago when I was talking to Chemistrol about some streaming things. I think I'm going to do a video probably on the more technical side of setting up your rig and such for streaming. So
that'd be cool because you've got some transitions and such. Like, I don't really spend a lot of time on my setup, but I was like, yeah, it would be really cool to see you do a video on how you've set it up. You got the Stream Deck, correct?
Yes, I have the Elgato Stream Deck, which is actually pretty nifty.
Yeah. Basically make a video that teaches how you do all of this, the cool stuff, and then basically sell me one of those. So that way it's like, oh, to do all these cool things. Yeah. and then have a link in the description where I can purchase it.
It right here.
Yeah. All right, you guys have anything else that you want to share publicly?
If for some reason there's one person who's actually even following my channel, I'm sorry I haven't posted anything. I got back into Guild Wars 2, so I look more forward to footage than that if I can actually put the game down for once.
That's good. I'm glad you're enjoying some Guild Wars. You gotta post some videos, man. You gotta keep posting. Just keep posting. JKP or JK. Yeah, there we go.
My content creation may go up if we ever can get anybody at work and keep them. So I can stop.
Smart is having the same problem in his office. Days. Like he just says that people keep calling in with broken arms and then quitting.
Oh jeez.
So it's like I don't know. Like
that escalated quickly.
I was like that really escalated. So, but he's got getting plenty of those hours. So that's the positive side of all of that. But on that, I guess I should get back to work too. Because this is work, this is work to game.
This is work to game.
And I've just gamed with you guys for an hour, so now it's time to work. All right, I don't know if we'll include any of that in the podcast, but if we do, thanks so much for watching and have a fan-freaking-tastic, amazing day.
Take care.
Have a giggity awesome day. Everybody take it easy.
Oh, hello. Were you expecting somebody? Chuck-like? Well, I'll never tell where he is. Only that if you want to see your friend again, you should totally hit subscribe. And maybe even a thumbs up. Thumbs down don't make me happy. And when I'm not happy, something happens to Chuck. I'm not joking. Goodbye. Subscribe. I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. See you next time.